Pickaxe.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hey, all. I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Wow. Welcome, everybody, nice. To the Hat Chat Podcast, episode 97, with your hosts, Chris Trott.
Ross Hornby.
And a very fuller voice, Alex Smith.
I tried to one-breath it. Didn't
try to one-breath
so well.
It?
Yeah. I've been trying that recently, often. Just one-breathing full paragraphs. Yeah. I'm still going right now.
Public toilets. I do that in public toilets.
What does that mean?
One-breath it. Before you go in, you take a big old lung of air.
Oh, yeah.
Quick, so quick.
Yeah.
And then the guy next to you looks over and you're there just like pissing away. It works out for me in that I don't have to breathe the air, but I think it leaves a lot of people with some strange impressions of normal pissing.
Well, with my current lack of pee flow, I probably wouldn't be able to hold my breath long enough. So I've probably got some sort of kidney infection.
You've got a lack
You've
of pee
got a
flow.
Lack
is that
of
something
pee flow?
You want to talk?
Well, I mean,
about,
I've got a flow. Don't get me wrong, but it's just not as like fire hydranty as I'd like it.
How much water are you drinking every day?
Quite a lot more.
It tends to be equal to the amount of water you put in.
No way.
Yeah.
You sure? Is it, well, I don't think flow the flow rate. Is. I don't think
well,
the flow
I mean,
rate
unless
is,
you've got some sort of horrible illness / cancer. It's unlikely at your age, but you might.
There's
other things
actually,
too.
So he might be able to pop
like,
a finger.
There's kidney infections and bladder issues before the big C.
Oh, of course. No, it's not. Yeah, I know. I'm saying
kidney
there's
stones.
Lots of things that could go wrong. Do you think you've got a kidney stone?
Way.
Do you have any pain?
No, there's no pain.
Should we diagnose you now? Let's figure this out.
If you could diagnose me, that'd be great. Mm. Sort me out.
So, well, you just shared with us that you've got a dribbly piss scenario.
It's not dribbly. No. There's nothing
but
that
it's
severe.
Not fire hydrant strength.
It's not like
car to jet stream.
You know, sometimes
you can't clean decking with it.
In fact, most of the time, you can just get it all out in one flow. And then a couple of squits at the end, you're done.
Sure.
Okay.
Now
and a little bit of wiggling just to get rid of the
are you
drops.
Just the excess.
Standing but, up and because sometimes, you know, I'll try and be clever with it and sneak through in or around the underwear. But sometimes that causes you dribbling issues, right? So I've got the particular pair of trousers that doesn't have a very large fly, so I have to toddler it where I like open the belt, open the waistband, everything.
Oh, I always toddler it. If I've got good flies, then it will just pull it all, anyway,
yeah,
carry
but
on.
You do so what I'm saying is it's good to get everything down in order to maximize your flow.
Pants around the ankles.
You're not sitting down
usually,
every time to piss, are you? I know you got that singing toilet.
I'm not a sit down kind of guy for peeing.
That's good. It's not good for
I
your
stand
asshole.
Up and assert dominance over my toilet.
That's good.
And
so,
do you
good.
Lean? Are you a leaner? Do you just one arm against the wall and you're like,
No, I don't do that. I
or
feel
are you
like,
kind of like a arms, hands
leaning?
Behind the head? Just kind of like...
I'm more of a lean back kind of guy, hips forward.
Yeah.
Proud.
Yeah. What I do
proud
in
what
every
I'm
toilet I go in is I start close, start peeing, and then walk back and back and back and back.
Get a good arc, yeah.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't be able to do that right now without... I wouldn't be able to get a good few meters
away
like I used to.
The arc's
going to
get looser as time goes on.
Spray more.
So are you oscillating? You're going back and forwards to kind of then correct for that? Or
exactly,
are you staying backwards
as,
and then just looking at
find
a trail
the sweet spot.
Of piss?
Yeah.
As the flow decreases, you have to step further and further into towards the toilet again. I try and use like a parabolic curve, like what they do with artillery.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
there's this laminar flow as well, where it just looks like there's no
becomes
pee
solid
movement. It's just
Has
anyone achieved that with their piss?
I don't think it's possible.
I've seen water features that have that, but piss. Hmm.
Also, it's based on the frame rate of the thing you're recording it at, I believe.
Is it? I thought laminar flow could exist in like nature.
Oh, it could exist in nature, but I think most of the time when we see it in videos, it's because the oscillation is in sync with the frame rate, and it looks like helicopter,
like helicopter
rotors
blades.
And shit.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
ding dong.
More
anyway, from P to helicopters.
Yeah.
Here we are. Thank you again to James H for that wonderful intro fingal, the kind of vaporwave industrial style that I like.
That was really nice, yeah.
It doesn't need a genre. Yeah. It is a James H original.
80s synth wave.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's James H original, yeah, you're right. Anyway, let's move on to our patron suggestions for this week.
Yeah,
so we've got some hypotheticals sent in by our lovely patrons.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/hatfilms. Thank you for choosing on the poll this week. Some interesting ones, I will say. It's because I chose them. Here we go. Number one, most voted, is, get your thinky boxes going, what would be the most surprising thing to tell someone who lived 100 years ago about our current era? What's the most surprising thing?
Surprise.
100 years ago?
Really relies on our knowledge of what was
1922. So that's like midst of World War.
It's in between 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I guess that we're still teetering on the edge of wars in general, which is
probably a
kind
big
of,
recession from
not necessarily
wartime.
I don't know if that's that surprising, I guess, if you but then I guess after the First World War you kind of think, there's no way there's gonna be a second one. And then,
I think tensions would be high enough to be like, another one's coming really soon for you guys.
Yeah, but of such scale, it's just,
in your lifetime. So that probably wouldn't be surprising. What we could say is there is a thing that allows you to communicate with anyone in the world instantly and see them if you want to. But everyone has instead used it to hate themselves a bit more.
The brains in our pockets, the mobile phone technology.
Yeah, that sort of stuff I think would be mind-blowing.
I think that would be mind-blowing. Like, if you went into a time machine, travel back to 1922, whipped out your phone, obviously, you know, none of the services are working, but the fact that this device exists, I don't think you're picking up
analog.
The same signal that you would be able to pick today, right? So it would be an impressive device of knowledge. I think the fact that you carry it around, it'd be like witchcraft almost. I mean, 1922, I'm sure, which they've got over the witch phase, of course. It's been a long time since then.
Nobody really
gets fully over it, though. There could be a witch among us.
Yeah, no, I think that is probably the biggest thing, that we have the entire sort of catalogue of human knowledge. Okay, you probably can only read the bits in your language, but for sure, it's just like, want to know how to operate something? Want to know how to, like, solve? Like, you know, say you were in a world war, in the First World War or something like that, and you're like, shit, I wonder if I could look up how to treat this injury that this person's got. Or I wonder if we find out, like, what's going on at home, or what position, what movements of infantry are going on. Like, all of that very useful information.
No letters, no radio transmissions, nothing like that.
Yeah, well, phones do work on the radio spectrum, but exactly. Like, it is an incredible piece of technology. I think small consumer technology is probably the most impressive thing we've done, because ultimately that's what post-war, what a lot of the West has done is just become you know, very focused on consumer tech.
What do you reckon
tech?
They would have? I think there's been interviews and things like that from different time periods of like, what do you think the year 2000 is going to be like?
Tomorrow's world.
I wonder what 1922 people thought 2022 would be like.
That'd be
and did
really
they expect this kind of dystopic, technologically advanced in some ways, very backwards in other ways, and kind of
there's no hover cars.
No,
there
no
are
hover cars.
There
are,
packs,
but they're really loud.
They have got jetpacks.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's I'm impressed.
But it's not commercial. It's not consumer.
It's not. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you can get like air ambulances use them, which is pretty cool.
That is cool.
I think if you showed that to someone in 1922, they'd be like, what the fuck? That's amazing. That's cool.
I mean,
I'd
be
show
like
that to me
now.
Today, I'd be like, right, yeah. That's how I would be like right
that's
now.
That's cool as hell. But like antibiotics just got introduced in the 20s. So we could talk about medical advancements. Like
medical advancements we can literally would be huge, definitely, yeah. I mean,
big pandemics are coming up. Look forward to those. And we developed a vaccine in a matter of like a month. Like you managed to decode the DNA and make mRNA, and then it just had to go through some slower approval process. That's just human stuff, trials. And then, boom, we had global supply of vaccines to fix a pandemic. You know the worst thing? But in 2022, a lot of people didn't believe in it. That's the worst part.
I guess. But then I guess they wouldn't believe in it then. Like, as in, like, I guess it'd be hard to convince groups of people. It's interesting, isn't it? How we think
it's like saying
population.
This phone is both like the biggest, most important revolution in society, but also the most damning one, like fracturing our society by bringing us
all
together.
But also it enhances
everyone's got
our
a vocal
connections
piece.
And enhances our divisions, doesn't it? Ultimately,
exactly.
Like
more people are clashing than ever.
Yeah, and it also kind of allows you to ultra like tribalize, which isn't necessarily a good thing either, depending on how you.
Which you wouldn't expect. From an ultra-connected internet, you wouldn't expect tribalism
helps you find your people easier, right? Or find people that share your opinion and
find your echo chamber.
Yeah. I mean,
it's
yeah.
You're right. Everyone else is wrong. We're right. Reinforce me.
But I'd say there's there's got to be more pluses than negatives, but I guess it's kind of hard to balance all of that out. I mean, we're seeing
we wouldn't
a lot more
have
negatives
nearly
now
as fun
as
a
time
job.
Goes on.
Without
oh yeah,
it.
Of course. Yeah, this our entire career is based on it.
Trot would have been blown to pieces in a trench, definitely. First couple of weeks.
Yeah, I would have been conscripted. And
Trot
would have
been part of the Montague Rifle Regiment or whatever. You know, like we're going to war. I'm excited to see the world.
Yeah.
2 weeks into
and
France,
then we get one tank, which is actually just like a hand-me-down or like experimental tech.
There
Jeremy's
were only like 15 tanks in World War One. So
the village hall janitor. Is also a conscript, and he's the tank driver, and he accidentally runs me over before I even see any sort of front line or anything.
I just backed over his leg. Now he's got a
gammy
leg.
That wasn't Little Trotty, was it? Oh, fuck.
Little Trot, he's gone down.
Little Trotty's dead.
And of course, Trot, you go to a hospital at the time, and oh boy, you're in for a time. You've come in because your leg's been crushed by a car. They're like, classic for this period, that kind of injury. Car
well,
leg crush. Nice.
We're going to have to get him the stick. Bite down on this, would you? All right, let's get the saw.
get him the pain-killing stick. What does it do? You just bite down on it. That's it?
Jesus.
Yeah, just bite down and think of the queen. King, sorry. And... fucking hell.
What else would that be? I guess.
Sprinkle films, some lavender oil films, on that wood.
Films in general, like, would be advanced. And I'm not sure what time period it was when they went to theaters and they showed a train coming towards the camera and everyone, like, started running out of the theater.
Yes.
Like, that kind of visceral
the
vibe.
Lumiere.
But imagine that in, like, fucking full color, like, 16K screen. You've got, like, this amazing, like, cinematic experience.
Yeah, it was still silent.
You immediately
at the time,
show
wasn't
them.
It?
They've just seen that train film. Then suddenly you show them like Iron Man or something. Like that
fucking
would be
hell.
I think that would
I'd
be like,
it
would whoa,
see that.
They would just potentially believe it's real. I don't know. I guess it's.
It'd be such high quality. They'd think they would be in the room with them, I assume.
And that
but
was
it would be also
by it
like.
Just go, that looks CGI. That's shitty.
Mm-hmm.
The pacing of movies nowadays is like because of our lack of concentration or like. What is the term? Where you just like lose focus after a few seconds.
I lost focus.
Engagement with it.
Yeah, that sort
of thing. But anyway, like, I feel like we constantly need a new flashy, fun thing to happen in the story or in the visuals every 10 seconds or so. Otherwise, we lose concentration. That would, for that time period where they're quite accepting of like a single shot for like 30 minutes without any audio and just some plinky plonky piano in the background.
Kind of honky-tonk piano.
To have like 200 things happening on screen with turrets and explosives and robots and stuff would be insane. Some people will have a heart attack. I think people would die watching that movie from the 1920s.
Do you think that's how they would
I think it would
films?
Be too much.
How many people died from it? Wow.
Yeah. I'd love to
20
show
deaths.
Them, though.
You're a winner.
I think there would be such a joy in showing people who you had a lot in common with, but obviously because of the distance in time and the cultural differences of like 80 to 100 years, like, of course there's going to be differences, but it'd be so fun to show people like, oh, wait until you see this. This is going to blow your goddamn mind.
Yeah.
Like, I would love that experience from somewhere from the far flung future going like, oh, look at this. Look at that. You'd be like a kid in a candy shop.
I'd love to see that.
Would it kind of annoy you though? It's almost like you've got this portal into the future where you know it's going to happen because someone's come back and shown you, and then they've gone.
You're not going to be alive to see it.
I'm never going to see all of that cool shit that they've just shown me.
Yeah,
and like, you know, the positives outweigh the negatives. But then I guess it would be quite scary as well, because maybe it would just be so daunting that you just be like, no, I don't.
True,
you'd reject the idea.
I feel like. I mean, I honestly think that, you know how, like, obviously we look back in history and we're like, holy shit, people used to have surgery without anesthetic. And like, holy shit, people used to regularly die from infections. Oh my God, people used to only live until their like mid-50s. You know, like all these things very, very recently. I do feel like in the next couple hundred years, with the caveat that I always do, if we haven't blown ourselves to pieces yet, which I think is increasingly more likely, not just because of the current stuff, just in general, I think it's a lot easier to fuck up because of the scale of our power as human beings now, and you know how quickly things can happen. But
sorry, you don't need to clarify.
I don't think that, like, you know, I'm not in a bunker waiting for a nuke to drop. I just think that it's a tall order to get humanity to survive.
Well, I mean, you say that, it's actually quite amazing. Well, I mean, maybe they have gone off, but like that a nuke hasn't accidentally gone off, considering how many thousands potentially exist in the world.
Yeah.
Obviously, there was that explosion of, was it stored fertilizer, which just blew up an entire like
Lebanon.
Bay.
Yeah.
Where was that, in Beirut? I don't know.
That was Lebanon, an insane explosion.
Like, the fact that a nuke hasn't just gone off somewhere is actually kind of impressive. And actually, I'm thankful that that's not happened. And if it has happened, then they've hidden it well.
Exactly. But no, I've actually, the segue then, what was I actually responding to you talking about then, Trot? Sorry, I completely lost it.
Oh, sorry, that was my bad. Threw you off.
No, it's okay.
We were discussing
the future.
And then going back in terms of like, oh my God, they didn't have anti-.
Sorry, so this is something, so I think that it's reasonable if we look at in the past and see the things that we think, wow, okay, that's crazy, they had to deal with that. There is going to be potentially a future where death is really a long way away for most people. I mean, like, you know, several hundred years. And that, I think, for people looking back, will be like, oh, those poor people, they only lived, you know, a blink of an eye, really. And they didn't get to experience or learn or, you know, all these things that you could do with more time in a more, you know, competent body. And I do think that that would be something that somebody from the future might spill the beans on. Like, oh, yeah, by the way, you don't actually have to die. Some people choose to die, but you can just upload yourself if you want to. And I think that would be something that you'd really struggle with. You'd be like, fuck, if I was born a few hundred years later, you know, I could be an immortal, but I'm not. And so I'm just going to die like everything else. And that's not necessarily a good or a bad thing. It's just something that I think you'd have to...
You don't need that extra perspective because you can do nothing about it.
Exactly. And I mean, it's almost the ignorance is bliss thing, but like, I still would do it. I think I'd take the, and I think you're right, inevitable depression with knowing that you're not going to experience a lot of these things, just to know, because that's one, you know, that I just want to know what we're capable of.
Do you think you'd want to introduce the internet era earlier so that some of the really weird shit got out of the way sooner? And then
possibly
the Wild West.
Once the Wild West has died down, things have become a bit more settled and a bit more regulated to a point where it's safe or working better.
I'm not sure if the internet's going to become any safer in terms of like we've had the internet explosion now. Are we going to see that happen in our lifetime, where the internet's kind of sorted out and there are rules and regulations globally where people aren't losing their minds or forming tribes and misinformation, disinformation is being run rampant, or you've got outside forces trying to affect society in another country to cause division? Like, how can you stop that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, ultimately, the internet is a tool. It's a network, right? Yeah. It's a networking tool. It's a way to transfer things in an interconnected manner. So, like, I mean,
it's how it's used.
Yeah. Imagine if Goebbels had access to the internet back in the day. You know, like that was a whole country mobilized on. Who did? Such tiny hands. I don't get it.
I wouldn't expect them to operate. It's
Gerbils.
Right. Yeah. Oh, it's good. Gerbils. Sorry. I was just like, I thought you were making a hands joke for a second. I'm like German people called hands?
Gerbils have small hands?
No, yeah. Gerbils. Gerbils.
So imagine if
Gerbils
in 1940s Germany had access to the internet, those gerbils could spread so much pro-gerbil ideology that it may have spilled over to other countries, you know, because until then the gerbils were limited to their own countries.
To their wheels.
And traditional, printing presses and wheels and things like that. And, you know, film and cinema a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it could have been a powerful tool. I think it's a powerful tool to anyone who can leverage it. You know, right now it's being largely leveraged as a consumer thing, right? To make people spend more money with certain people.
Yeah,
Politically it's been used, and we've seen the results of how it's been used. And that's kind of like what I'm thinking in terms of, like, if that happened earlier, maybe that happens and it's probably likely to happen again in several times. Mm-hmm. That eventually it gets to a point where the people who are burned by it, or the people who've learned from that, move on, or generations die off where they, you know, because obviously it's so new, this, like, the internet's still so new for people who are, you know, quite old.
Yeah.
That they don't know how they're using it properly, and they're just believing everything.
So you want, like, a few
generations
that where the internet has existed for their entire lives.
Yeah, where it's like everyone knows how to use it now. Everyone knows that you don't need to believe everything you read. I mean, that's obviously going to be an impossible thing to kind of, it's hard to imagine, because obviously, you know, newspapers did the same thing, really. But yeah,
it's ultimately humans listening to other humans, isn't it? And how believable that human is. Yeah. And the stronger the connection there, like, used to be chat boxes where with limited availability, like on MSN or AOL Messenger with your friends. Now you can literally have a conversation in a video call or in virtual reality with someone, and that physical connection with someone is more believable and therefore more manipulative. If that makes sense. Like, you can convince someone better.
Yeah.
Rather than, if that makes sense. But I feel like as the internet grows, so does the technology and the people that want to control it. Like the big corporations that have all the servers, they want all their servers to be used and all the data to go through them. I think they'd fight for that. And I think that would exist regardless of what time period it's in. And I think the big corporations would vie for that control throughout. But yeah, maybe we become disenfranchised by it. Like, understand the game that they're playing. Or maybe the algorithms will run rampant and the big corporations will lose control of their AI.
Yeah.
To the point where it's so smart, even they don't know what the fuck's going on. And then we start getting controlled by robots.
And gerbils.
Wow. Yeah.
And mostly gerbils. We left the gerbils untouched back in the 20s.
And they've been plotting this whole time.
Yeah.
Thousands of generations of gerbils.
Being able to introduce, I don't know, more options for renewable energy earlier on. Obviously, like, you know, money is what seems to be.
That would be a good thing to show.
But, like, knowing what could be better earlier could be better for the future, right?
Ignore Chernobyl. I think Chernobyl was bad for the nuclear push.
A little bit.
But the other effects of, like, climate change and things like that, where we just allowed the industrial revolution just to run rampant. And, like, cars and stuff, not the best solution to transport, that sort of thing. Like, just show LA congestion.
Yeah, right. Show LA, like, an efficient
train system.
Don't
build a city around roads. Big suggestion there. And just, like, don't give so much power to the consumer to want everything and drive
market
companies
forces
to
shouldn't dictate society. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. It's like, this is what's going to happen, is everyone's going to have Starbucks and everything convenience around the corner, and the oceans are going to be littered with plastic, and life as we know it is going to go vastly extinct. And all those nice animals and shit in the wildlife are going to be destroyed, and all the ecosystems along with it. So
downside is, I guess, even further back, it's less believable. People don't believe it now. And you can see visible effects of what we've done, and people still don't believe it, or they don't accept that that's what's going to happen, or they're being paid to not believe it. So that's tell someone, like, you know, 100 years ago that that's going to happen, they'll be like, nah, it'll be fine. More coal on the fire.
And also, I guess you could argue that, like, there's so much time between now and then that it doesn't matter until a certain amount of time. It's not our problem yet. Yeah. I guess that's a common mindset. It's like, for all the old oligarchs out there, it's like, doesn't affect me. I'm going to be dead by the time, like, the planet destroys itself. So I'm just going to enjoy my life while I've got it in the fullest way I can.
A lot of these people in power have kids as well, which will have to live through some of those times.
Yeah, but they'll be protected by money.
Sure, but like
for a bit
globally, like these things are going to affect everyone. And I think that's the thing that's hard to imagine and hard to picture.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
It's hard to imagine why people would be so evil and so, like you say, take money to say things if they do have children, right? As in, you're like, man, sure, you're taking a load of money, and I think a large amount of money can be used to get somebody to say just about anything because people aren't that principled in general. But like, yeah, exactly. You're like, well, yeah, but what about your kids? They're literally dealing with the shitty world you're going to be creating. So it makes me think that they can't just be taking the money. They must genuinely think it. Unless they genuinely don't care about their kids, which is another even scarier prospect, where they are just full on psychopaths, where they're just like, I just had kids for a thing to do. I don't even care about their future, you know, like, which I find hard to believe, because I think a lot of human beings have it like programmed into them, a very like innate level of like,
it seems to be a
protect
switch
your children.
I don't know. So, I think there is a lack of empathy in certain schools of thought where I think that's considered a weakness, and they wouldn't entertain that idea of like, you know, thinking beyond themselves or beyond what they know as well.
Or
already.
It becomes,
so if they're already wealthy,
like,
already have everything, you know,
they think that's the way that the world is.
Yeah. And they can just give their kid a load of money when they die. That's what they imagine will solve everything.
Or there's a level of like, I went from rags to riches, so I'm not going to give you a helping hand. Like, you figure out the future. It's not my problem.
Yeah.
Basically. I don't
know. It's just nuts.
Well, that's the mentality with like the fees, school fees, tuition fees in America, isn't it? Where people are just like, oh, like, how they shouldn't get a free ride because I paid. And it's just like, yeah, but like society, like, you need to think on a bigger scale. And it's just, it then becomes a kind of argument of, well, I had to do it, so you have to do it. And it has to be shit for you too. It's like, oh,
it's like the cool argument for canceling student debt and student loans in America right now. And you've got AOC, who's basically countered that by saying, not everything you have to do has to directly benefit yourself.
Yeah.
It will come back around. If you cancel student debt and you've already paid off your loan, oh my God, what, I had to pay it off. Why do these people get a free ride? Well, it's like those people then have more money to invest in the
stimulate the economy that you
stimulate
be a part
the economy
of,
you and you know, maybe your house prices will go down and you'll have a better, it's more subtle, you don't get a payout or anything like that, but you're helping people around you, which is a crazy concept. I know.
Well, but it's more just like, you have to wonder what people, it's like the cost of living crisis now, you have to wonder what the people at the bottom can do. They just like, as in, what is left for them to do? It's not just a case of, or, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It's a case of you're going to die because the rich are just getting richer, and that's just how things are. And it's just like, there's got to be a point where that doesn't benefit the rich. There will
be. Mate. That's the breaking point that we're moving towards. I feel like England's like 20 years away from a French Revolution. I'm not going to lie. If the elites and the ruling parties and all the rich fucks that are doing all this shit really desperately want power and control that badly, they're going to have to start looking after people, because otherwise, like you say, people are just going to be like, well, it's either I'm going to die or I'm going to do something about it. And when people are literally, you know, like you say, forced with being... just no heating, no house, no food, no nothing, then they're going to be pretty desperate. And desperate people really
desperate
like
measures.
Using a guillotine is all I'm saying. They love that shit. They, you know, they roll one of those out.
It's just convenient, isn't it?
It's a very expedient way of just feeling a little bit better, you know.
And it's a show.
It's a great show. It's like freed cinema, because nobody can afford the cinema anymore either. So like...
No, yeah.
Far too expensive.
Yeah, but... But no, it is. It is a great question. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Like, because I mean, 40%. I mean, I don't want to turn this into a doom and gloom podcast. 40% energy bills going up in October. In October, all of our energy bills are going up an estimated 40%. 40%. Like, that's a huge amount for what is already an expensive and like, you know, like I remember last year I was paying like 130, 140 pound a month or whatever. We're now paying like 220 250 pounds a month if you were on that same thing, and then in October that's going to become probably almost 400 pounds. Like, that is such a huge increase for a household of pretty much any standard. It doesn't matter really. I mean, obviously if money,
I think that revolution's not coming in 20 years
yeah, I know.
If this keeps up,
yeah, I know,
people it's can't survive.
But
aren't energy companies like claiming that they're turning profits and they don't know what to do with the excess money?
I
don't understand how. Bonkers. I don't understand it enough to know why they're announcing profits and yet everyone's paying through the nose.
The chief executive of BP said in a recent shareholders meeting that BP is currently what he would call a money printing machine. This is what they're saying. And I mean, like, they have such control over the oligarchs in our government. they are the oligarchs, and our government are, you know, the people appeasing them.
Subjugates.
That you can get away with that. And it's just like, why aren't we taxing them? And they're just like, no, we can't. And it's like, why not? I think we need to drill into that and find out, like, you know, where's this control? Yeah. Where's this coercive control coming from? That's just like... Why wouldn't you tax these giant companies that are literally making money from shortening all of our lives?
Threats. It's all just threats or money. Yeah. Like lining the pockets or like saying, if you don't, like, I will ruin your life if you don't.
Yeah. It's really strange.
Do you want all that power? Do you want to stay in the government? Yeah. Because I could wipe you out.
Becoming PM now is going to become a miserable endeavor for like the next 20 years of trying to desperately get England out of the fucking mess it's got itself into. So
with all these external forces like trying to corrupt them as well.
I hope these bastards won't try and maneuver for it, because, like, you know.
Because the thing is, like, I don't know what the alternative is. So if you can't pay your bills, you end up going to jail. So then you actually probably get a better deal in jail. You don't need to pay any bills. You get your three meals a day. And then, you're sorted, because ultimately there was no other option. And so everyone in jail is then basically a community of people who just couldn't afford the fucking overpriced bills. And then they're not getting their money because those people aren't in the system anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's so odd. It's a very backward system.
What if we all rallied and voluntarily tried to get arrested at the same time and just crash the system?
Could try to.
Well, everybody. We're trying.
Everyone.
You'd have to commit some fairly serious crimes to get through to jail, and even then you'd have to be waiting months for a court date, Trot. So really, we're all just in legal arrears for months.
Just outside, waiting to get arrested.
Let's just all queue outside the prisons.
Yeah.
Right? I guess if we just all refuse to pay our energy bill, right?
Yeah.
That's like a crime.
I'm loving these ideas. Yeah, I mean, we could nationalize, like, become a union of a whole country of we could call it the Energy Bill Payers Association. And then everyone could unionize and just say, like, look, none of us are paying until you do. I mean, that's the way to do it. That's the way to leverage power. That's unionism.
We kind of need, like, because obviously it's a battle of attrition at that point. It's like, okay, we're shutting off your energy then. Good luck.
Yeah.
And then how do we survive past that? And everyone's going to be like, well, actually, can I have my energy back? Because my dishwasher needs to recycle. I need to do a load.
The whole damn country would collapse if you did that. If you managed to do it. As in, like, the government would be, I reckon within a week, they would do something, because, you know, as soon as energy stops flowing, all of the companies and production facilities in the whole country, not just heating your house, but, like, you know, that would become people would,
I guess, you got to think about, like, we aren't,
that would kill the economy.
We're not in our own bubble at the same time. There are other countries. We would be making ourselves extremely vulnerable to external forces and that sort of thing. So there's probably more variables at play than just us, like, shutting down our economy.
It's an interesting thought experiment. But yeah, essentially that would just be like extreme direct democracy in action, really, is what you're describing, is where everyone gets on board with one decision and backs it through action. And that'd be
and
fantastic.
Everyone is like, well, yeah, fuck it. I have to join this because it's either I pay £400 a month, which I can't afford, or I join this union where it's like, we are just refusing to pay.
Yeah, I mean, and we know this price increase is coming in October. So, yeah, I mean, fuck it. Trot, you could start your own unionist movement. Do it. I'll back you.
Trotty Thunberg.
Trotty Thunberg.
Trotty Thunberg. That's what I'm calling myself. Let's get the marches going.
And he was refusing to pay. October comes, coldest month that year. we're just turning off. We're turning off the heating. And like everyone's like, knocking their gas pipes out. And they're just pissing gas into the air now. Like,
old people are dying left, right, center.
Hold on.
It's so cold. Why do we choose to do this in October?
Yeah. Fuck.
It's turning into winter.
Yeah.
Also, slight addendum to that. Which is really small, but everyone will still be on board. Obviously, you know, if you put dogs in power, then we'll stop the union.
Of course, yeah. Dogs, I mean, honestly, still need to be in power, and that's been an idea that you've been working on for some time.
I need
it started
that dog
as an insane suggestion, but frankly, Trot, I think we'd have more sensible decisions coming out of our government if the entire cabinet was dogs.
They're more empathetic. They
love
them.
More importantly, Great Danes, because they're huge. They're big.
They're massive.
It's just like, I think that's also quite it's a dominant thing.
Yeah.
It's all great. A big old crowd of Great Danes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you'd show them some real respect.
I think
you need different breeds for different positions.
Of course.
You know, like, you know, foreign minister, French bulldog, you know, because, you know.
Cause, nice, okay.
Of course.
I haven't got many more for you apart from that. Who else would there be?
So Alsatians, the German Alsatians, I guess.
Yeah, it's German Shepherd. Hold on.
German Shepherds, of course.
Cabinet positions. Let's just quickly find out what cabinet positions there are.
You could have, the border patrol could be, like, Mastiffs. Like Rottweilers.
That's the security services. Homeland Security. Who's Secretary of Agriculture? Collie?
Yeah, Collie's,
collie
I guess,
would be
all
lovely.
Your working
yeah,
dogs.
They're out and about. Very smart, savvy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the...
they could also do business,
food
to be
ministers,
honest.
Maybe, I guess, hunting dogs.
Food ministers. Beagles. Well, really, beagles. Yeah, I mean, they love their food, don't they?
They do a lot of meat agenda, like, pushes, though, I think. It would be less about veggies.
Yeah. And the transport minister with the greyhounds. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. That's a great suggestion. Yeah. But they do get knackered very quickly, so they'd want very fast, very quick transport.
Quick bursts.
Sorry,
yeah.
I've missed a very obvious
We get a lot of bullet trains.
What about border collies for security
and border,
for border patrol? Homeland Security is border collies. I mean, that's funny.
I think the big issue we have is there wouldn't be any border control, because to a dog, everyone is a friend.
Exactly.
So we'd probably be overpopulated very quickly, but at the same time, it'd be a lovely place.
Yeah.
We could get a few psychologically messed up dogs, the ones that are like ultra possessive.
Right. What about like ex-police dogs?
Go straight for the arm.
German Shepherds.
Working in a nursery. Don't give that kid ice cream. Oh, Jesus Christ. His face is a mess.
I'd probably let, you know, the therapists be Labradors or like cute puppy, like very... nice. Oh, it's all right. It's going to be all right.
So how long?
All the other ones, Cavapoos.
Fashion industry, poodles.
They've been charged with
That's culture. Allergies. That's culture. Yeah. There's no culture cabinet. Anyway, I think we put the word right on that one.
Yeah, I think so. I think the dogs need to be in power.
The answer's
everything
right
get
there.
Better. And the energy comes from the dogs. They're full of energy. So we'll get them on.
Exactly.
They'll be running on treadmills and they'll be powering the entire country.
None of them have an agenda apart from food. That's actually it.
Exactly. So,
Just a suggestion.
Nearly anything.
By October, if nothing's improving, just think about Trotty Thunberg and his big union plan with the dog lore addendum.
Indeed.
Maybe that's the best solution.
I think so.
Maybe this is something that Trot's going to pass. You're going to sneak it in. You're going to create this unionist movement that's amazing and will help empower all of the individuals of the UK to get a better deal from all of the assholes in the oil and gas companies that are gouging our country. And then, but also, by the way, the whole government is ran by dogs now.
An asterisk at the bottom of a 500-page document just says, by the BTW, they're all dogs.
All the signs are there.
Right. I didn't actually read the last page there. That's interesting, but I did accept it.
Really. Every time I was doing a rally, at the end, I was doing like a silent whistle. It was weird, but like, why is he bringing out that whistle at the end of every rally speech?
So. The Pied Piper for dogs.
You turn around, all the windows, there's dogs looking out.
Holy shit, this is literally the Pied Piper story, I've just realized. Like, the Pied Piper turns up and says, I can get rid of all your rats. But like, the downside is if you don't pay me, I'm going to steal all of your children.
I'll unleash the rats and steal the children,
And run the government with dogs. It's a great one. It's a great idea. There is one more question here. Mm-hmm. The second Patreon. If all politicians of your country had to compete in a reality TV show of some kind, what kind of show would you create for them?
I mean, some of them actually do go into reality TV shows. Yeah. We'll point out, like, you know,
Christ, the jungle.
Some of them are reality
in the jungle or Big Brother or something. I mean, obviously they're not politicians. I think they're not sitting politicians at the time, I don't think, but they have been in there. But just exclusively politicians is what we're thinking. Would I lie to you?
The classic, like, oh, blah, blah, that kind of person. Bumbling.
So incredibly posh, they're harder to understand. And, you know, I'm speaking the Queen's English.
Pint of milk couldn't be more than £10.
I only buy milk with the Queen's royal stamp.
Of course.
I'd throw them all.
Pay for everything with stamps.
Into the exact same format to Keshi's castle.
They'd be really agile and think
it's brutal.
Really,
there's no health and safety
feet.
There. Yeah. It's like all that nice. Shit.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Because cathartic.
Just getting absolutely fucking totaled
by a very cathartic
Japanese character behind a fake door.
And a massive boulder coming down this ramp on a slippy, lubed up ramp that they're trying to run up, getting rugby tackled by guards. And also the pond with all the stones. And one of them is fake, and then they smash their knees and shins.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
I initially thought like a battle royale, to be honest with you. I thought that'd be great, because I'd love to see them all like
real life
desperately
Hunger Games.
Try and... Because they'd be pathetic, wouldn't they? They'd be absolutely pathetic.
In any kind of real scenario, of course.
People like Boris Johnson and Jacob Rees-Mogg are like physically fucked, you know, like as in they have no physical capabilities left in them, do they? And they're probably so unused to hardship and turmoil that like it would just be glorious just to watch them fall apart into sniveling messes as some, I don't know, we'll get somebody else in there, get some, who are they up against? I don't know, like a fire engine crew, you know.
Yeah, that's enough.
Shit out of them.
I think like there are already like reality shows where people like swap houses, like rich house poor house. Obviously, all exclusively Channel 5. Channel 5 loves to, you know, look at poor people and belittle them in whatever way is possible. But I feel like putting politicians in real life scenarios where they actually experience what it's like under the policies
genuine
they've made
hardship.
That would genuinely be interesting to watch to see how they deal with it, and then also see they're fucking struggling because of these X, Y, and Z that they don't really experience or think of when they make these policies. That would be interesting to watch, because then it's just like that completely takes off this kind of
veneer of things are all right, really. And the whole like, oh, the British public know what they're really interested in, that's their classic line of like, oh, I think we need to stop talking about the fact that we all had parties over Christmas and you guys didn't, because I don't think people are interested in that. And it's like, people are fucking, you know, pissed off, man. But no, that exactly, stuff like that. But then I sort of thought after my initial battle royale, I thought that's a bit primal, it's a bit basic, so like how can we really like show some stuff to an audience? And then I was thinking something along the lines of a little bit about what you're suggesting, like people getting into situations where they're actually genuinely questioned and brought up on things to give a proper answer. Because obviously you see all the news interviews and all that shit, and there's always a level of decorum to the questioning. Like,
you tiptoe around them, don't they? Because it's this kind of mentality of they want to be able to interview them in the future because they know that's, you know, good for ratings, etc. So there's always tiptoeing. They won't say the things. I mean, sometimes they'll push the line. But it's always only enough. Like, you know, there was an interview recently with, Susanna Reid and Boris Johnson. Although she pushed him to a good degree, like, and sure, she probably won't get an interview for a while, but, like, it's still never the way... You almost want to sit them down and really go, like, but do you really believe these things you're fucking saying? Because I don't think you do.
Because they always go back to the whole rehearsed line of, like, we're really happy, or, oh, let's wait until see what the police say, which, you know, our Prime Minister is having to say that regularly. Well, let's just see what the criminal police investigation into me does say. Our Prime Minister being criminally investigated. That's the thing, like... That is usually like enough of a considered answer for most interactions. But you'd be like, no, hold on. Wait a minute. Like, think about this, right? You're a human being. Stop talking like a politician and start talking like a human being, because at the end of the day, that's what matters, the human impact here. And yeah, absolutely.
It's like a reality show. It's almost like it's designed to trip them up, to reveal them the truth.
Allowed to leave a slowly filling box of shark-infested water until they give straight answers. So we could call
we'll be introducing
like,
baby sharks first.
This is torture.
Before we get to the great whites.
We'll call it deep water, all right? Yeah. So, like, you know, like...
You're
it's
in
a
deep
fear
water
factor.
Now.
It's like fear factor. Do you remember the fear factor years ago? Yeah. Like that, but with political questioning.
Yeah. Some extreme interrogation. I mean, you're going to get quite a lot of extreme ideas out of the guy that decided he wanted to put people in a shipping container for 3 months and see if they thank me afterwards. Yeah. But
Desert Island, though.
Desperate times.
Sometimes they was it Survivor, someone said there.
Yeah.
So we could put... They'll all love that idea. That, Survivor sounds great. But then Fear Factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And political questioning. And then it's all just like, oh, shit, this really took a turn. And then suddenly these guys are all revealed for who they actually are. And then people be like, fuck.
People are mentioning the show Naked and Afraid, but I'm fairly sure that's just what Matt Hancock's administrative team are.
I was thinking, embarrass them with a naked attraction style show where they literally reveal their naked bodies in front of someone.
Until they answer the questions. The blinds slowly go up.
Or the lines go up.
You're running out of time, Boris. You're going to really have to answer why you don't like poor people.
You're going to be naked now.
6 month camping trip to Rwanda.
Oh shit! Yeah.
They
get sent on the
months.
Exact same journeys, and we have to follow them with Ross Kemp following them.
Yeah, Priti Patel steps off her taxpayer-funded fucking 737, and they're like, "All right, Priti, now we're gonna put you in a fucking detention camp for 6 months in an African country that's probably doing it for money."
Yeah, you're no longer Home Secretary. You are now a refugee.
Oh my god! SAS Who Dares wins, except you've got Boris Johnson debating Ant Middleton, and you see which one comes out the bigger idiot. There's loads of options. I mean, let's send them.
It's a whole niche of game show that's not being utilized right now, and I think again we could be on top of that. But
it takes them away from their important work, Trot.
Yeah,
it's true. You're right. We'll figure that out. In order to put things into law, they have to go through a fear factor trial. How about that? they're trying to get the job done, but they're up against it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's plenty to stew on for next week. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Hat Chat. Particular thanks to our patrons for, again, just being there for us and providing our support and allowing Hat Chat to continue. Thank you for that. And thanks for choosing those questions. They were pretty good today. Thank you for that. And also, big thanks to everyone sending an email in, whether it's like for funny news or whatever, or you're sending in a fingal for us, like James H. did. Send that to hatchat@hat-films.com, please. We like to hear from you. Thank you, everyone. Hope you're safe out there. Stay warm. Turn down the little thermometer on your boiler.
Go out and buy shit tons of batteries. And try and save all of the energy you can take out of your sockets now, because in October, that you're going to double your money. You are going to double your money.
Charge up every battery. Power your house on a bunch of
batteries.
External batteries.
Also, lithium USB. And cobalt supplies are becoming more and more expensive, so even that's not a solution. Just spend 20 grand on solar.
Get a load of cheap solar products. Yeah. Like lights, everything.
Everything is and then poorly lit everywhere you go. Because you remember when like energy-saving lights were first coming out.
It took ages to build up.
Like, you turn it on, you're like, yeah, energy-saving lights are great for bills.
Give it a second.
Sorry, every room you walk into, I hope you don't need to piss quickly because it takes about 5 minutes before you can see anything in the bathroom.
God, it used to be like that, didn't it? That was really strange.
I still have one. No, I've just removed it, but in my loft they had one of those old bulbs which like you turn on and it's really dim and it slowly brightens. Anyway,
LEDs.
Getting off track. Thank you everyone. And we'll see you all next week for more hat chatting. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.